Okay. Good morning, everyone. It's a little after 9 on June 24th. We're gathered for a work session on the Northern States Power Company cost of gas cases, case number PU-21-09, 21-87, 21-102. We've had a number of conversations about this, and so I don't have any opening comments, but I will see if my colleague, Commissioner Chrisman, does.
Nor do I, thank you.
Okay, then we'll just turn over to the portfolio holder, Commissioner Crotchus.
All right, good morning, everyone. I think the easiest exhibit, or the one that would be most efficient to look at, would be from the informal on, I think it was June 9th, that we had with NSP. And that has the different scenarios on how to spread the cost of the February event, the impact from the February event, out to the various ratepayers and various rate classes.
You know what page on that?
Page 10.
Okay.
And there are different slides for the different rate classes, but 10 is the residential.
Okay.
Which I'd like to focus on that, and then the others would follow suit. So is everyone there?
I am, and it looks like Commissioner Crisman is.
Okay. So we had asked the company to provide different scenarios, which they did. There's a 14-month, 16, and 18-month scenario, of course, as you can see on slide 10. And, you know, backing up just a little bit, we were looking at what NSP had come up with in terms of the overall dollar impact. And I wanted to take a deep dive into that, which we did, just to verify the number being correct. They are entitled, as everyone is aware, to recovery on this. It is a pass-through expense. It is not an expense that the company incurs that they make anything from. There's no return on this. It's just a pass through to the customer. The various classes of customer, whether it's residential, whether it's commercial, et cetera. So, but I thought that was the right starting point to not just take the number at face value. I was hoping for some relief, but unfortunately, going through the numbers, everything was accounted for, and it was just an unfortunate event, to say the least, because of the impact it will have on customers. So then we get into how are those costs then allocated and spread out? So when I was looking at this, I'm concerned about the impact it will have on all customer classes, but particularly residential, and especially low-income households. And the reason I think we have to take a step back and recognize that there are people that live paycheck to paycheck or are on a fixed income, whether they're on Social Security, and this impacts everyone, but it impacts them disproportionately because of their income level. So, Victor, you'll have to help me out just a little bit. Do we normally true up in September for NSP to make sure I've got this,
yes,
the right companies, right dates? Okay. And to cut to the chase, I think the 18-month scenario is too long because then we get into the winter of 2022-2023. I think that's just pushing it out too far. However, if we were to take action and come to a consensus on the time period, there's a 16-month and a 14-month. Now, we could implement this still on July, correct?
Correct. We can implement July 1.
Which is why.
These schedules are, we're contemplating not implementing until August.
Right.
First, so the numbers would change slightly.
And of course, that's why we're here today, to try and expedite the process and get this in play. We were to start in July, the 16-month scenario would then end in October. We're not yet into the high cost months in terms of what customers experience because cold weather moves in this part of the world and we call it winter. I know there are also thoughts on shortening that period. I personally like the 16-month, wrapping it up in October and hitting more of the shoulder months when home heating costs are low and cooling bills, electricity bills are lower as well because we're not into the mid part of the summer. We will get into next summer, the summer months, in terms of the impact, but the average usage is relatively low in the summer months. It might be a hot water heater. It might be the occasional cool night where someone might turn the furnace on. But so anyway, my thought is to mitigate this to the extent possible. Not that the costs, overall cost goes away, but to spread it out over more months versus fewer months. And again, when I look at the impact to the low-income households, for households that are doing fairly well, they don't like this either, but it's not as significant as someone who is just getting by. So that's where I'm at. I know it does overlap to a small extent the true up that will come in September with NSP. But in talking with Victor, I had asked, you know, what's the actual, you know, traditionally, historically, I should say, what have we seen for true up amounts? And on a per, well, I guess for NSP, it's a per therm basis. The others are on a per decatherm basis, but it's just a multiple of 10. What was the number? I'm trying to remember it. 20 cents, 15 to 20 cents.
Yeah, it varies from year to year, but it's generally.
Or 1.5 to 2 cents per therm.
That sounds correct. I'm trying to recall those details, but and it can vary from positive to negative.
Right.
I think a lot. I'm trying to recall if all of the companies had a negative true up in place for the past year.
Well, let's just say hypothetically, it was a true up that was another 2 cents per therm or 20 cents per decatherm. And the customer is using 4 or 5 decatherms on average that time of year. It's a dollar. So the overlap isn't what I would deem as, if that gets layered on top in a negative sense, it's not really going to change the bill a lot. If it is a credit and it goes the other way, it's not going to help that much either. It's going to move that extra couple of months by maybe a dollar, literally a dollar each per month. So because of that, again, I'm advocating that we spread it out a little bit more, provide a little more relief on a month-to-month basis and still get the full collection taken care of at the end.
There are a couple of options with that. So, you know, under the 14-month scenario, we don't get into the next true-up period. This is done before the next true-up starts. On a 15 or a 16, where we're getting into that next period, there's two options. There's one, we can run this alongside of the next true-up, like you were just describing. Alternatively, we can have the company price it out as if we were going to do that. But then in the next true-up, roll in whatever balance remains on this into the next true-up period. So it almost turns it into a 24-month type of scenario, but it's really not quite that way. You know, we would just kind of be taking a small remainder. You know, they're not collecting a ton of these monies during those summer and shoulder periods. But it would, have an impact that way as well.
So I definitely appreciate and share the desire to mitigate the impacts as much as we can to the customers. And I'm not strongly opposed to the 16 months, but I do think it has two disadvantages. One, it stretches out further away from the customers that are impacted, who were impacted. You know, we know that there'll be customers that join the system in that 16-month time period, and the longer you wait out, the more of them you're going to have who weren't here in February. So they'll be paying for something that they didn't experience. And it's a significant amount of, you know, over what the normal prices are. So that I think we need to be conscious of that and try to minimize that as much as possible. And you've done that to some extent. 18 months is more, but 16 months, you know, is more than 14. And the other one disadvantage is, you know, what if, I agree that normally the true-ups are small, but can we assume that we aren't going to have another one of these events next winter? Can we assume that all the weatherization is going to occur in the meanwhile, and all the changes to the natural gas supply are going to be implemented to prevent another cold snap from having a significant impact on the price of gas that affects customers? I'm not comfortable with the underpinnings of the system right now to be able to say that we won't have another significant impact next winter. I hope that we don't. I hope that some of these changes can be incorporated quickly, but there's a lot being expected of the natural gas system in winter. And I don't think the infrastructure exists to enable that yet. And I'm not confident that that's going to happen in a year's time. So those are the two disadvantages that I think I see with not just completing the true-up in the normal course of business and then starting fresh the next year round.
On to that, or you want me to go?
No, why don't you go, and then I can find additional thoughts that are...
I just pretty much agree with a lot of what you said, Brian, and then also your points, Julie. And to add to them a moment, one of the things that we heard, and I don't remember which docket number it is here, but they made clear to us, you know, we talked about gas storage with them, and that the opportunities for them to expand their gas storage are rare, and when they have occurred, they were small. So it might be different if we thought something big like that was going to happen, but really the most likely big scenarios that I could see coming up that would really change what we've learned over the years is that there'll be even more demand on gas in cold weather for electric generation. As companies around the country are continuing to rely on it. And so I think an extraordinary weather event is more likely each and every year than it was in the previous years, until something dramatic changes, and there's nothing in the landscape that suggests that. I agree completely with the concerns about extending it out into a whole another cycle, because like was already said, you start impacting customers that never were a part of this, never benefited from getting some gas when it was desperately needed, and driving up the costs for everyone. I do want to also emphasize, so I guess my preference would be the 14 month, but I do want to emphasize that while the fixed or low income residential are a really important factor in this decision making, so too are some of the business classes, because there's a lot of businesses that are struggling too. And what we do here impacts them as well. And actually, they're the ones that are providing some of those dollars for a lot of the people, the residential people that we're talking about here. And so I don't want anyone to think that we only consider the residential impacts. And also, even if we go with the 14 month, that is a big change from normal for exactly the reasons that you laid out, because I think this commission does certainly recognize the significant impact that recovering from this winter event is going to have on both residential and other classes. And so we are extending it. If we go with the 14 month, while we wouldn't be extending it into the next cycle after that, we are extending it backwards into this cycle by 2 months and expediting it in order to get one of those 2 months where this commission, and we all have heard tons of jokes about government moving slowly, where this commission is making it possible to catch one of these summer months that the company didn't even contemplate as possible when they gave us these diagrams, because they were envisioning everything starting from August, not July. And so I think even at the 14-month scenario, we are certainly recognizing the impacts that are going to be very significant to a lot of people.
Well, just a few thoughts on that. The company did provide a scenario where it does begin in July. That would be the blue bars on the graph. So I don't think it was a lack of desire on their part. It was just they were unsure whether or not we could take action because of how the process works and the time considerations that we have to incorporate into the process. So I understand that customers do turn over, but that's a constant issue, whether it's with resource additions that customers may be able to take advantage of, benefit from, when they haven't been paying for it over the past decade, but then they come on board, but it's always rolling forward. So I think there is two ways to look at it. One, yes, if a new customer comes on board, buys a house in Fargo 12 months from now, they'll still be impacted, or this summer, for example, they'll still be impacted by something that occurred when they weren't a part of the equation. Although it's very likely that unless they moved in from a non-MISO or a non-SPP state, and I know electric organizations, but just when you look at the Midwest in general, they were probably impacted by whatever utility was providing service. So there's some give and take, but I don't think there's a tremendous amount of turnover in that respect. The one thing that I know we can't control what is going to happen this next winter, but I'm hesitant to base this on what ifs versus what is. There are continuing investigations at the federal level over the pricing of the gas during this period. We'll see what the FERC comes up with. They're continue to investigate to see if there's any price manipulation. I think if you ask the general public, they would say yes. The prices were manipulated. How does it move from $3, $4 to $70 in such a short period of time? What that will yield, I don't know, but that is one caveat that we can't count on. But it is possible that if they find out that prices were manipulated, that these entities responsible for that would have to refund dollars. I'm not holding my breath by any stretch of the imagination that will come to fruition, but it is a possibility. I don't know of anyone who wouldn't scratch their head over how the pricing mechanism worked during a very short period of time and would agree that the system is broken when something like this happens. But that's another what if that we certainly can't count on. Here's one thought. We still have the time to implement this in July. And as a compromise, it doesn't have to be an even number. It could be 15 months. I would be willing to compromise with starting in July, going 15 months, and then we would have it wrapped up in September. So I'm not getting everything I want. You know, for those who want 14 months, you're not getting everything you want. But I do think it's a fair compromise to go in at 15 months, trigger it, put it in effect in July, and then we'd be wrapped up in September.
When does the other true-up start then? So you'd still have overlap?
We have a one-month overlap with a 15-month.
But if you look at September, it's not a significant amount. And again, realistically in September, on the high side, and historically we haven't been there, but just on the extreme, it might layer in another dollar for a residential customer. It's not a lot of money to stretch it one more month. It just provides a little more relief. And
well, and that's where I just think is the paperwork and the fuzziness of extending it in one more month even worth it, you know, to not just stick with, I mean, the principle of here's how we've done the true-ups in the past. This is, you know, we're starting earlier to capture, we know we're capturing more people that were part of the system than not now versus extending it out. And so there's a good logic for starting sooner to capture the customers that we know were most likely impacted versus stretching it out. I mean, I'm not going to die on my sword over that, but it just seems like the potential benefits are small versus just sticking with sort of the philosophy of the 1 year time period for the true up period from the previous year and get up that 1 year time period and then starting over. So, but I don't know how much does the one extra month change these graphs to make it, you know, like a couple bucks in the highest impact months. So it looks like January might be the month that has the biggest difference between the blue and the yellow bars. And that's so 38 to, is that?
We'd be comparing the green and the yellow.
No, we'd be starting in July, wouldn't we? July.
In that way, yes.
We would still be looking at a similar time period. So one other thing to keep in mind is none of those bars were contemplating taking the $500,000 from case 2187 and applying it here. So that will make a small adjustment. Not going to be huge, but it will have an impact, as will, green and yellow bars we're contemplating, again, not starting until August. So starting it sooner saves a little bit of money in the long run for customers as well. So.
Oh, the yellow bar starts in August.
Yeah, well, both the green and the yellow are right. Start in August, but I think they would look similar if they started in July, albeit slightly less.
So if you did July, you'd go July to August, not July to September.
Correct.
For
the 14 month, you would do July through August. For 15, you would do July through September. Yeah.
Is there, is the, having two troops going at the same time, is that pretty simple mechanically?
Yes.
Not a, it's just a computer thing. It's
yeah, the company, I've talked to the company a little bit about it. They weren't terribly concerned about operating it that way. It doesn't even show us two separate lines on the bill because this true up is a factor in the cost of gas adjustment itself. So it is kind of background calculations that we verify are being done correctly. And then they simply charge to customers the overall cost of gas. So customers won't really see it. It's two separate items, although we would.
Well, I don't think it's, I don't like it as much, but I would go along with it.
Months starting in July.
Well, Randy hasn't weighed in.
I'm kind of in the same boat. I think consistency and keeping things within a cycle is value in it. This makes the, you know, the next one, at what level do you start pushing them out farther and farther? But you can, that so I'm not also going to oppose it.
A couple other points to clarify then, and we want to go with the 25% seasonal approach versus straight or 50% seasonal variances. The 25% is consistent with how we treated MDU.
So that's not on here. The
green and yellow are both contemplating 25% seasonal. And what that really means is the winter rate is approximately 25% of the, of the summer rate.
That was my preference that I was planning.
Yeah. Okay. If it's what we did with MDU, then I think we should be consistent.
Right. And then for which months we consider summer months, I forget the exact months that we used for MDU. I think we were slightly different here. So NSP proposed the months of April through October would be considered summer months for this pricing scheme. It's in schedule. Remember, it's not scheme. if I guess it's up to you if you'd like to do anything different than those months as summer months.
What do we do for MDU? I'm sorry.
I don't recall. I can look that up and just make it consistent with that.
I would like to do what we did with MDU. Never heard any reason why that wasn't right.
Right.
So
I believe that is, this is consistent with MDU, but I'd have to double check as well.
Yep. I'll verify what we use there, and I'll ask the company to give me final, you know, they don't have a final rate calculated yet for our exact specific circumstances. So they said they can quickly turn that around. I'll put it into a motion in order for the tentative 29th special meeting that we scheduled. Along with that, I will be putting a motion and a memo and a motion for case 2187. The company submitted a request to withdraw that application. So I'll write a memo suggesting that we it would be okay if we draw that or allow the withdrawal of it and close the case. It's that 500,000 defaults to applying to this balance.
Good. Better grab a mic there, Patrick, or go up to the podium.
Oh, yeah.
A question for Victor to check on. I think I'm wondering if NSP chose those months as summer months because it lines up with their tariff. In their tariff, they have summer and winter rates.
It may have been. I think there was some direction from commissioners during one of our meetings where there was talk about using another month potentially as a summer month. I think that was in some of our early discussions. So from what my recollection is, they were responding to that. But it may very well be that that's what they considered summer and winter from other tariffs. But those tariffs don't necessarily preclude us from determining other summer months. And
they don't, but perhaps NSP wanted to do it that way because they're changing their billing for energy rates. And then they would be changing this true up at the same time as they're changing their billing for energy rates. It might line up in their billing system better.
I can find that out.
Okay.
If there were a good reason for it to be different, I could go along with it then. But if it's just because as one of, you know, multiple options they gave us to contemplate different scenarios, it was something they randomly chose and then we make it different than what we did with MDU, that I didn't like. But now, even though I've already said that I wanted to stay consistent with MDU, if there's a good reason that it causes, you know, additional work that will also get passed on to the consumers in the end for their billing system, then I'm okay with the DBA.
Okay. Well, one thing to
mention that other case, are we able then, that withdrawal on that refund, are we able to close the cold weather? What's the other case, 102?
We can. I was anticipating writing a memo on that once we've kind of completed this action. And similarly, the MDU, you know, each company has an investigation open. We open them on electric and gas. The electric we've closed because we've come to a point where we're comfortable with what happened. These, as we close them off, I intend to draft memos and suggest we close them.
I think one point that was brought up, and it's valid, and as I mentioned, the FERC continues to investigate the pricing mechanisms as well as other entities at the federal level. This, without question, there has to be a review of the market. And when you think of the significant impact this is having on ratepayers, whether it's a homeowner, whether it's a business, there have to be market reforms implemented because this can't happen again. And I think the odds of it happening again in terms of not tight gas supplies during extreme weather events, but price swings that are incredibly detrimental to ratepayers, I do have a higher level of confidence that through the inspection process, the investigations that are underway, that the companies who profit from this have gotten the message that this can't happen again from a pricing standpoint and it won't be tolerated from a pricing standpoint. The utilities did not benefit. Ratepayers certainly did not benefit. But there were entities that did extremely well during the cold weather event in terms of revenues that they received at the high pricing levels. And just to put it mildly, for me, it's just incredibly troubling that this occurred on the pricing side of the equation. So hopefully the entities that are, the parties that are looking into how the pricing, how prices spiked and why they spiked and recognizing that everyone's entitled to making a fair return on their investments, whether it's an oil and gas producer, whether it's on the shipping side of it, but this was ridiculous, frankly, that the pricing levels went as high as they did during the cold weather event. So we'll see what happens moving forward, but well, I'll leave it at that. Obviously, it's troubling to say the least.
Yeah, it is. I hadn't necessarily planned on talking about this, but since you mentioned the investigations, you know, the pricing is one big area of concern, and I agree that it needs to be addressed, and perhaps some new regulations considered in terms of that industry, because it's being relied upon so much for energy to serve everybody's needs in the winter. Beyond the pricing, though, the price wouldn't have had an opportunity to spike if it hadn't been for some of the other failures in the system that were significant and predicted. And if you look back even just 10 years ago, you know, there's been a lot of talk about how this was an unprecedented cold weather event. That's not true. There was a very similar weather event just to this in February of 2011. Major FERC oversight investigation, you know, a whole report, 300-page report written with things that should be done to prevent this from happening again. And if you look at that report and read it, which I have done about half of it and am in the process of doing, you could easily just not look at the dates and think it was talking about this February's event in terms of what happened and what the recommendations were. And they just weren't implemented. And that report cites events that happened in 2005, 2003, 2001, 1989, all of these events that have happened since, you know, in the last several decades, where there were lessons learned that were and changes recommended that were not implemented. And that's really where this all the work needs to begin, is fixing those things so that, you know, when there is cold weather, the gas pumpers in Texas don't shut down, and, you know, that the gas system operators know which facilities shouldn't be turned off because that's going to exacerbate the program, and all these basic things that the consumers just assume are being done and haven't been done. And so I'm on the Neighbor Gas Committee, vice chair of the Neighbor Gas Committee, and the chair and I visited yesterday and are talking to the president of NARUC about a task force to bring in the industry. We've already talked to a lot of the industry to see, like, what is the best venue, and they think NARUC is one of the best venues for bringing all the partners together, NERC, FERC, industry and regulators, and try to get to the bottom of some of these issues, both on the price side and the operational side, so that, and then some follow through. So that's hopefully something that'll be forthcoming, a task force of that nature through NARUC in the coming months. But we have to learn from this and make changes. It can't just be reports that sit on shelves and collect dust, and the same problems are allowed to repeat themselves and again and again. So, with that,
I'm debating in my mind. I'll also add this to it, though. I hope, as they study these things, and as they're on committees sometimes that are looking into it, that we don't give up on the markets, because, you know, it's easy and it's accurate to say that, you know, like, some of the gas prices we saw this winter were ridiculous, and somebody made ridiculous amounts of money selling, you know, $200 in gas that the day before and hours later was $3 or $4. However, reason that it got to $200 or even $100 or $50 wasn't that anyone necessarily thought that should be worth that amount. The reason it got up there was because people who didn't want their house to freeze up and do tens of thousands of dollars of damage, or to close down an electric generator and put a bunch of people out, it had to get to a price that, for instance, caused someone to send a semi 300 miles to get some fuel oil and haul it back and start an little electric generator. That's the cost that you had to compare to that Decatherm, of what it took to get fuel oil and things like that to places where it could displace the need for it. And so it is a complicated process, and we are not building out the gas system sufficient to take care of all the needs that we are placing on our gas system.
Very true.
Yeah, I think that's my greatest frustration, though. The when you look and at the growing demand for gas, and you look at usage, that this wasn't recognized as a potential problem sooner, or that it could be a potential problem. There wasn't a scenario that was any modeling done that said, what if this happens? And you're right, these cold weather events have been happening forever. We call it winter, but our 30 below temps are probably the equivalent of 30 above when you're living in Texas in a poorly insulated, if it's insulated at all, home. So that, to me, is the frustrating part, that and it's the knock of against government, that we're often in a reactive mode, and government has to be more proactive. And I would have, you know, I think every ratepayer out there would probably, not probably, is asking, well, why wasn't this corrected, and why weren't measures put in place years ago to address this type of extreme weather event, which from time to time will happen. But we'll see what the future holds.
I blame Wall Street and Hollywood more than I blame government for the direction we're moving.
True enough. Okay,
I have one other quick piece, if I could. So commercial and industrial, the schedules we were looking at, we're contemplating seasonal approach with them as well. I recall asking the question to NSP, but I couldn't find the answer in my notes. If you recall, with MDU, we did not do a seasonal approach with commercial and industrial because some of their usage patterns weren't conducive to that. So I just wanted to give you a heads up that if that's the case here, we would be doing a straight rate for commercial and industrial. Just wanted to clarify that so it's not a surprise. So that's all. Thank you.
Good plan. All right. With that, our work session on these cases is concluded. Thank you.
We meet